Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Our text is the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 16. I will not reread it. Text, though, asks a very eternally important question, doesn't it? Jesus starts off with a little survey. You know, who do people say that the Son of Man is? This initial question really isn't getting to the eternal question that's important for us all. But then after they give the answers, you know, some say John the Baptist, some say Jeremiah or Elijah or one of the prophets, and rather than spend his time teaching them that reincarnationism is not a Christian teaching, he goes on and says, well, who do you say that I am? And that's where the rubber hits the road for the Christian, right? It calls us to examine our faith and our confession as we strive to be faithful in what we say and what we do. So I'll be the jerk today and ask, so does your confession at home, work, school, and play differ from your confession in church? If we're honest, we'd have to say yes. Our confession of sins otherwise was just lip service. So we join our confession and cry out, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And today our cry for God's mercy knows that it is God who gives us faith. As Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father, right? Peter's confession is God's confession through Peter. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And it has to be our confession as well, as we join our life into a giant amen of what Peter here has confessed. And we are blessed to know then that the very gates of hell will not prevail against that confession. So who do people say that I am? Jesus says. Who do people say that the Son of Man is? And you know as well as I know, it depends who you're talking to. Right? If you're talking to a Muslim, they might say he was a great prophet, but not as great as Muhammad. Right? If you're talking to a Jew, they would say he was a gifted yet unorthodox rabbi who also said or is accused of saying some things that are rather anti-Semitic. That whole, no one comes to the Father except through me, is a little problematic. Talking to a Buddhist, they view him as an enlightened person. Scholars acclaim Jesus as having remarkable ethics. Our Jehovah's Witness friends that might knock on your door this afternoon, well, they would tell you that he is an exalted being. Mormons teach that Jesus had become God, the Christ became God, when he took this planet as his, because they believe in many gods. Other view Jesus as a social justice warrior who came to right all the social justice wrongs. And still others try to make Jesus out to be a mythical figure, much like a unicorn or a dragon. You see, all these views fall short. They fall short of who Jesus the Christ is. He is, as Peter confessed, the Christ, the Son of the living God. In fact, Jesus being called the Son of God is nothing new to the Scriptures. On Thursday, we celebrated St. Bartholomew or St. Matthew's festival. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. But in the devotions for the day, the different days, that's what Thursday was. And when Bartholomew is called to be a disciple, and Jesus says to him, there is a Jew in whom there is no contempt. And then he says, I saw you under the tree. And Bartholomew responds, surely you are the Son of God. John chapter 1, this is going on. You see, Peter's confession is given by God, but it is not unique. The disciples struggled with that as we struggle with it, to confess that Jesus is God and true man, and yet be faithful. Right? The disciples had heard what other people had said. They showed that the masses had thought that Jesus was at least sent by God or a representative speaking on God's behalf. But they certainly didn't know that he was true man and true God. Peter then, pressed by the question of "Who do you say that I am?" gives a wonderful response that only God-given faith can give. "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And on this one true Christian church is built this confession. We confess it as we do in the Nicene Creed. "In the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father from all before all worlds, God of God, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made." And yet, much like the crowd, those who had said who Jesus was to the disciples, we are guilty of making Jesus something less than the only begotten Son of God. Living at times as if Jesus no longer exists, or at least what he taught no longer matters. Haven't we used vocabularies that has confessed to our neighbors and friends that the Word made flesh is not really important to us? Haven't we treated his house and his servants as if they were extras for our life, that we are nice to have them around when we need them, but not essential? These and many more reasons are why we plead guilty and confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, as we confess today. For our very thoughts, our very words, our very deeds, well, and the things that we don't do, we need to repent of. We have not loved God with our whole heart, and we have not loved our neighbor either. We justly deserve nothing but eternal punishment. Just remember, Peter, just a few verses later, a few moments later, after he makes this great confession of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the God, living God, when Jesus starts telling him what that entails, "I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to get crucified, I'm going to die, and on the third day I'm going to rise again," Peter says, "No, I have nothing to do with that. You're not going to do that. It'll never happen." And then what happens? Peter looks at the same Peter he had just said, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona," and says, "Get behind me, Satan." You see, that's exactly what we do with Jesus in our own lives. We want to make him something he's not so that it makes us feel comfortable doing what we know we shouldn't. That's exactly what Peter did. It's part of our fallen nature. It goes right there in it. Because, well, our fallen nature tells us that we want to be God. And how can we be God if Jesus is actually sitting on the throne? So we have to knock him down a little bit. But I have good news for you today. You see, the church exists for sinners. We won't be saints until heaven, and that by grace through faith in Christ. But the church exists for sinners, and the gospel is only for sinners. You see, the confession of our sins is a good thing because it is evidence that we see our sins and desire to be reconciled to God and to each other, not on our own terms. Not by making certain things more important and other things less important, but on God's terms, where there is actually true equality and true justice. We come like the Canaanite woman from last week's gospel, pleading for mercy, willing to receive even the crumbs that fall from the master's table. If that's all he is willing to offer us, but I have good news for you. He offers us much more than crumbs. Rather, he offers us adoption as heirs of the kingdom. His own children he makes us. And to this confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, it is the only confession that hell itself cannot prevail against. Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build the church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against us. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound, and whatever you loose shall be loosed in heaven. Did you hear that great confession? Jesus is Lord, the Son of the living God, and you are blessed. Just like Peter, we are blessed. Which is why we confess about our aversion that Jesus, what Jesus had said to Peter. What do you learn in the third article of the Apostles' Creed? I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, and sanctified and kept me in the one true faith. That's the same thing Jesus is saying to Peter, just in more flowery language. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Right? But God, but the Father, God reveals it to us. Hell will not prevail against this confession. The sign of Jonah has happened. After all the sin of all the world has been taken into his flesh upon the cross, Jesus dies our death that we deserve, and he rises from the dead on the third day just as he said he would. Now these keys. That's another subject. Jesus gives the keys of the kingdom of heaven to the apostles and the church. That is, to forgive sins and to withhold forgiveness of sins. The good news is, the proper function of the church, the proper function of the gospel, is always to forgive yours and my sins. Yes, the keys can lock forgiveness away, but only from those who reject the gift. Only from those who reject the gift of faith and refuse to repent. That's the alien function. It's never the goal of the pastor or the church or anything to withhold forgiveness from anybody, but to find that one second, if it is, of repentance and faith so that we can declare what Jesus has declared: your sins are forgiven. Our sins today are loosed in heaven. You are forgiven and adopted as an heir of the King of all creation. So come today, for Jesus is not offering us crumbs that fall from the table, but he's offering us himself to join us to himself and there receive his forgiveness as he gives us his body and his blood in, with, and under the bread and the wine. All of this so that we know once again that our sins are forgiven. Imagine this. This is only a foretaste of the feast to come. We are truly blessed. So who do you say that Jesus is? The Christ, the Son of the living God. That's the only confession we can have. Anything less is a lie. So let us confess him as the Christ, the Son of the living God, always being willing and able to confess that Jesus is Lord. It was interesting on Thursday while I was doing chapels for people and visits on St. Bartholomew. St. Bartholomew goes to Armenia, or Nathaniel, you can call him. He had two names he went by. Goes to Armenia and he proclaims the gospel, and the king converts. The king's brother is so mad that he converts that he orders that Bartholomew is filleted alive. If you ever see a symbol in a church stained glass window that is either a picture of a man holding skin, a body, just the skin, or a filleting knife, those are the symbols for St. Bartholomew. This confession meant his life. But this confession meant that he lives. And he has life in it eternal. For the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. For him, for Peter, for you, for me. For Jesus has done it all. For the Word of God and the working of the Holy Spirit is the source of this confession, as the Father has given it to us in His Son. His Son has outstretched His arms and has opened the kingdom of heaven to all who believe. This is my peace. This is your peace. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen.